up on a mountain and the battle, and we're kind of picking up where we left off the last time I ministered. Amen. And a battle is being fought, and it's turned depending on whether he continues to pray. Everybody says continues to pray. Not just prays, but continues to pray. I have a real issue with an instant formulas in the name of faith that doesn't involve persistence and perseverance. There's a word in Scripture that occurs over and over again. Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe it's around verse 36, verse 32 down through verse 36. It said, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Everybody say a great fight of afflictions. Amen. You know, we need to warn new Christians, don't we? When you get saved, it doesn't mean everything's going to smooth out. Amen. Sometimes the devil will try to smooth things out to keep people from sensing the crisis in their life so that they won't turn toward the Lord. Amen. But after you were illuminated, amen, everybody say illuminated. After you were illuminated, that means after your eyes were opened, after you saw, because the Spirit revealed to you your need for a Savior. Amen. Salvation begins with illumination. Amen. A revelation of who Jesus is. That's at the very start of Holy Ghost conviction. I'm lost and I need a Savior. And then that mighty revelation, Jesus is Lord and He can save you and forgive your sins. Flesh and blood does not reveal this, Jesus told Peter, but only my Father who is in heaven. So if we think we can get theologically trained enough to be able, capable ministers of the gospel to communicate Christ to people because we're so filled with the right theology, we're wrong. We still are in desperate need of the Holy Ghost to work as the gospel is preached. Can you say amen? And it's hard for me to believe that much is going to take place of real spiritual reality and significance where there is a suppression of the Holy Ghost on one hand, but then a desire for Him to bring souls into the kingdom on the other. We need the mighty Holy Spirit to move. Amen. Without Him, I believe that we are incapable of truly communicating Jesus to anyone. This is not an intellectual argument that we win by bringing so many supporting scriptures. There's a lot of people don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God. So quoting scripture to people who don't believe in God or don't believe the Bible is the Word of God is not going to be enough. But when the Holy Spirit, amen, opens the eye so people can see for themselves, it's different. Can you say amen? Listen to this. The woman at the well, and we'll get back to Hebrews, but I'm just preaching off the cuff, so it's hard to tell where I'm going to go. Amen. But the woman at the well in John's gospel, amen, went back and told everybody, amen, what Jesus had done for her. And there was a great a move of God because those people were so convinced seeing her changed life that they came out to the well to hear Jesus. And what is really wonderful is what they said on the way back from Jacob's well. You know what they said to the woman who told them about Jesus? They said, we believed because of thy saying. That's just an intellectual. They said, this woman's life has changed. We believe because she said it, we believe it. That's not enough. That's not saving faith. That doesn't involve revelation, a personal revelation. And there's a lot of people, I believe, that have believed because the preacher said, believe because mama or daddy said, but they haven't had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? She said, we believe because of thy saying. They said, we believe because of what you said. See, a woman whose life was changed like hers was changed was so convincing. They couldn't help believe that something wonderful had happened to her. So intellectually, they had given mental consent that, yes, you have found the Messiah. Yes, He is Lord. But that wasn't enough to save them, and that is not what the Holy Spirit wanted to finish and accomplish, was just give them a head knowledge. How many knows it has to get beyond the head and into the heart? All right? Listen, amen. They said, we believe because of thy saying. There are very persuasive people in pulpits that speak with eloquence and biblically astute. But without the Holy Spirit, we can get mental assent and we can get emotional consent. But we won't have a real response to God that brings a born-again experience until the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal who I am to you. Can you say amen? That doesn't mean we don't preach. It means while we're preaching, we're aided and abetted by the mighty Holy Ghost. Amen. So they said, we believe because of thy saying. But now we have heard Him for ourselves. And we know that this is the Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that incredible? Now we've hurt him for ourselves. I'm telling you something. You don't go to heaven on grandpa's coattail or grandma's coattail or mama or daddy's or some Christian friend. You need to meet Jesus for yourself. Amen. And then you'll know that you know that you know. Amen. 1 John said, I've written these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Isn't it good that you can know, amen, without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved today? Amen. Why? Because his spirit, among other many reasons, his spirit, though, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's an intimate personal knowledge of Jesus. And there's a witness within. Amen. And there's a witness without. We know we passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Oh, come on, church. I know it's tough sometimes. I've quoted this 100 times. I'll probably quote it 100 more. Amen. Living with the saints above. Won't that be glory? Living with the saints below. Now, that's a different story. Can you say amen? But, folks, if you pass from death to life, if you've truly been born from above, God has put in you, amen, as part of the new nature, a love for brothers and sisters in Jesus. And all brothers and sisters in Jesus are not lovable. Amen. But we're supposed to love the brethren. Can you say amen? And the Bible says we're supposed to do it. It speaks of the unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned means we're not just putting on that Jesus, I love you, sister, I love you, brother, on Sunday, but it's really coming from the heart. And you know what tests that love is when they fail you or they hurt you. And then you'll find out if that love really is there, because the love we're talking about, amen, is produced as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it bears all things, believes all things. Listen to this, endures all things. Amen. Never fails and never ends. So follow after faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Isn't it incredible that the foundation for everything else is love? And we're living in a day when faith is put above everything in so many circles. And the Bible said, if I have faith to remove a mountain and don't have love, it profits nothing. Can you say amen? If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it becomes sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Amen. If I have a wisdom and understanding to understand all mysteries, I have deep revelations in the Word of God, and I do not know the fundamental, foundational love of God, I am nothing. It amounts to zero in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Foundation for all of it is the love of God. Amen. Well, that's what God wants us to zero in on today and to understand very, very clearly. Amen. Listen to this. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Illumination is going to bring, amen, everything hell has in its arsenal against us, because we know how to tell. We know what we know so absolutely that we can tell somebody else with absolute conviction how to be saved. And we are a real threat to the kingdom of darkness. Can you say amen? After you were illuminated, what happened? All hell literally broke loose against your life. Can you say amen? And I would venture to say it still does. It does in my life. I don't ride roller coasters. I don't need the thrill. Amen. Life gives me the same thing. I go from spiritual highs that look like I could just, excuse me while I touch the sky. Can you say amen? You can tell I came through the 60s too. Amen. Amen. I came through those high highs. I've been on those high highs that I just wanted. I almost felt like I was a helium-filled balloon. Don't make no gas jokes. Can you say amen? But I felt like I was so light, I could just go on up. Amen. I wouldn't have to wait for the trump to sound. I could just go on and be with the Lord in that morning service where worship was so rich and real. Amen. One phone call with a certain type of situation can blow seemingly all of that away for a little while and make you feel like you've been hit in the solar plexus hard as it can and takes all the wind out of you. Can you say amen? And you get those low. That's why I don't need no roller coaster. Amen. I want to go look at the animals. Amen. Or I want to see the bird show. I don't need to be doing this because my life does this all the time. I go through high highs. I go through deep valleys. I have an enemy. Amen. And it's not just Satan. It's my own flesh. Can you say amen? My flesh has never held up under pressure. Never held up. I've never been able to make myself strong enough not to feel pain. Amen. I go into a dentist office. Amen. I want gas and Novocaine. Amen. I want them in tandem. I want both. Preferably, I want to be put to sleep. Wake me up when it's over. Thank you very much. Can you say amen? And when I wake up, be sure and give me a huge bottle of whatever I need to deal with the pain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, somebody's pointing at their husband. I'm glad that, you know, I like the sign on the dentist wall that said, I'm not nervous. I'm not afraid. I'm just extremely alert. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, you know, we all, and emotionally, I'm not strong. I don't have a thick skin. I used to say, you know, when you're pastoring, you better have a thick skin. Amen. You need a heart like Jell-O. You need a hide like a rhinoceros. Can you say amen? You need a soft heart and a hard hide. Because you're going to get all kinds of problems, amen, and criticisms. And I'm not so confident in myself. I'm confident in the Lord in me. But I'm not confident in me, per se. I'm not anybody great or anybody special. I bring no special talents. I'm dependent 100% on the anointing. The anointing didn't come this morning. Boy, we'd be in trouble, and I'd be in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. We might as well have the benediction to start with. If the anointing doesn't come, but I know the anointing is going to meet me. If I'll show up, he'll show up. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I said, if I'll show up, he will show up. He's never failed to show up. I have been feeling so rotten emotionally, physically, and every other way, but if I show up, he's going to show up. And since I know he's going to show up, I'm going to show up because the anointing does, in fact, break the yoke. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Breaks the yoke. Always does. But after illumination comes a great fight of afflictions. In other words, persecution came to that early church after they understood the gospel and people began to receive Jesus. Heavy persecution began to come. Why? Because those people were going to go out and touch other people with the gospel. They were going to be like the woman at the well. They were going to speak with such authority and with such conviction and with such love and compassion. People would come to hear about this Jesus. Amen. And when they came to hear about this Jesus, their eyes were going to be open. They were going to experience spiritual illumination or revelation. Spirit and blood did not reveal this, but my Father which is in heaven. And other people would come to know him. So Satan wants to suppress, amen, that message and that witness and that enthusiasm and that zeal and that testimony. He wants God's people suppressed. Because if we're not depressed and suppressed through his oppression, we're going to go out and enthusiastically, joyfully declare what we know about Jesus Christ. And if they're convinced enough to begin to look to him because of what we say, they're going to meet him for their self. And they're going to know that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So maybe you'll understand that after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Can you say amen? It went on down to say, but ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Can you say amen? You have need of what? I love the sign that says, Lord, give me patience and hurry. Can you say amen? Lord, give me, and I'm serious about that. If I didn't need it, I wouldn't ask for it, so hurry up and give it to me. Amen. Hallelujah. You have need of patience. You have need of patience. It was themed for us before this service got to this point. Earlier, as the messages came forth about continuing to pray. Amen. Continuing to pray, even when it looks like circumstantially, God is not responding. Even like it seems like emotionally that God is not listening. Continue to pray. Because the fact is, not the feeling, but the fact is, God is listening. Our prayers are in the presence of God according to the book of Revelation. They are in golden vials and they are sealed in his presence. Not one prayer, amen, is going to be missed by God from any of his children. Isn't that incredible? Don't we serve a good God that would take prayer that seriously and that personally? What are these golden vials here full of odors, John says. Amen. Listen to this. What are these golden vials full of odors? Amen. And he's told these are the prayers of the saints. Can you say amen? Everybody say sealed in the presence of God. Is every prayer that I have ever prayed. There are mothers that have prayed for their children who are with the Lord, the mothers with the Lord, never saw all of their children come in, but that prayer of intercession is sealed in the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's before Him constantly. I tell you, if God takes prayer that seriously, we ought to begin to take it that seriously. If we know God is listening, it ought to be an incentive, not just because it's our duty, but because He's listening. Can you say amen? What did David say about prayer? I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. I love the Lord because He heard my prayer. Listen, turning His ear always to me. The literal Hebrew said, bending down and listening when I pray. You ever seen a child talking and a mother or a dad bending down to listen? Can you say amen? Can you visualize that? That picture that David is giving us of how God responds to prayer? Can you say amen? If He bends down and listens, I don't want Him to hear nothing. If the God of the universe wants me to talk with Him, wants me to make Him my source, wants me to look to Him, can you say amen? I want Him to hear something from me. If I've got this audience, if I've got this opportunity in this privileged place that I can come to the Father and pray in the name of Jesus and be assured that I have His ear because I know I have His heart. Listen, if you've got somebody's heart, you're going to have their ear. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? If somebody loves you, they're going to want to hear what you have to say. They're not going to blow you off. Somebody loves you, they'll turn off their answering service to talk to you. They don't love you, they'll just let it pick her up and let it ride. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If somebody loves you, they'll listen. You've seen the picture of the husband and wife sitting at the breakfast table, and it's always usually him, but it can work either way. But he's sitting there with his nose in the paper. She's wanting to talk and communicate, but his nose is in the paper. I'm going to guarantee you, when they got married and they went on their honeymoon and they had their first breakfast together, he didn't just sit there with his nose in the paper. There may be a few exceptions. We'll pray for those guys. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he probably didn't do that. That came with time. That came as that passion began to lose that place. Listen, it's not just passion alone. Amen. It's the fact that we're a needy people. We need God. And we don't just need Him when we sense our need. We need Him day in and day out, 24/7. We need to be in that vital prayer relationship with Him. I'm not good at duty praying. I'm not good at structured just do it because it needs to be done. I believe I'm very good, amen, at talking to my Heavenly Father, amen, throughout the entire day, amen. An hour of prayer to me is a cumulative. It's not just the 1 hour I spend at a given time, but it's throughout the entire day. Amen. I talk to God in the morning. Something goes good at work, I said, thank you, my covenant friend. Something don't go good, I say, help me, Jesus. Can you say amen? But I'm always a man of prayer. Can you say amen? 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 Prayer works, folks. Prayer works not because it's magic. Prayer works because we have the ear and heart of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why prayer works. The incentive to pray is because we know He's listening. And the Bible said in 1 John, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. Can you say amen? Prayer then goes from praying and petition into praise and worship because we know He's listening. We're going to start praising Him for the answer. Amen. You say, Brother Bimble, I've been praying for years for this particular thing and God has not answered. Yes, He has. Yes, He has. He just gave an answer that you couldn't deal with. If it hasn't been answered in your time and in your way, He's either said, not now, wait, which we don't like to hear that. Can you say amen? Or He said, it's not really good for you. It's not in my eternal plan for your life. No. We hate that one, don't we? Amen. We don't like no. I got a big old stray dog. Her name is Sophie. Oh, we gave her a bath yesterday. I pounced on her. Amen. She sits down. She's over 80 pounds. And she's an old dog. And they would have put her to sleep. But we took her in. I love that dog. That is the sweetest old dog you ever saw. But she hates baths. She don't bark. She don't growl. She's just sweet. You'd just hug her if she was around you. But she just plops down. Dead weight. over 80 pounds of dead weight. Now, 80 pounds may not be bad if you can get, you know, a little leg or something to push with, but if it's dead weight, it's dead weight. It's just like dumbbells, 80-pound dumbbell laying. And so I grab her from behind, and I pick her up like this, and I got an 80-pound dog that is just... And I say, who's the alpha dog? Who's the alpha dog? Who's the alpha dog? And I go like this, and I drag, you know, 80 pounds of dead dog until I drag her where the hose is. Who's the alpha dog? Who's the alpha dog? I kept telling her, because you've got to be the alpha dog if you're going to give her the bat. Amen? And I finally get her out there. But she just doesn't much understand no. She understands stay. But no is something that just goes right off of her. Like, you know, she sees a cat and wants to play with it. She really don't want to hurt it. You know, like some dogs now, what's his name? Bruiser. Bruiser said he loves cats. Tastes just like chicken. Amen. That's the kind of dog Bruiser is. Amen. But my dog doesn't want to eat the cat. My dog just loves to play with any kind of animal like that. Loves birds, loves cats, loves people. Just a loving dog. But she doesn't understand no. When you tell her no, she looks at you like, you know, I don't get that. And you know something? When God tells us no, we laugh at the dog. But when God tells us no, we're not good at having... We've been taught to use our faith and get what we want. We need to be taught to bow our hearts so we can get what He wills. It's not always God's will to do everything you want. Amen. My dad didn't give me everything I wanted when I was growing up. If he had, I would have had a .22 rifle at 6 years old. And I would have been dangerous. Can you see somebody that gets everything they want when they want it? Can you imagine someone buying their five-year-old son a bulldozer because he thinks they're neat? Bring it up in the front yard and unload it and say, there it is, son. There it is. It's yours. Here's the key and here's the levers. Can you imagine what he would do with the bulldozer in the front yard? Amen. Amen. God is not going to give us what He knows we're not capable of handling. God's not going to give us something He knows Satan's going to use as a wedge in our life. Amen. God is not going to just give everybody the same thing because we're all at different levels of spiritual growth. Amen. Most of us think we could handle great wealth. Millions of dollars wouldn't change us. Just like the T-shirt that said, Lord, help me win the lottery so I can prove to you that it won't change me. Can you say, listen, God knows whether it's going to change you or not. Amen. Doesn't mean He's not going to meet your needs. If you live in a home, you drive a vehicle, and you have enough money in your pocket to go out and eat today, you're in the top 8% of people on the planet. You're in the top 8%. Do you realize that? You're in the top 8%. Top 8%. That means... whether you know it or not, you're very, very blessed today. Can you say amen? Whether or not you're going to have a $25,000 crystal chandelier in the foyer of your 10-bedroom, 5-bath, or 10-bedroom, 8-bath, or whatever home. Amen. I don't know whether you're ever going to get that or not. I really don't. Listen, I love what Proverbs said. Lord, don't make me so poor. I'm tempted to steal. And Lord, don't make me so rich. I'm tempted to fall into pride and self-sufficiently, but give me what is right for me. Isn't that a wonderful prayer of wisdom? Give me what you know is right for me. Now, one thing about the Lord, He said, I'm not going to leave you without the things you need. Amen. Amen. Having food and raiment, what are we to do? What should be the attitude of our heart, having Christ and eternal life and all of these wonderful blessings and a God who says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I'll deliver you? Honey, you can't buy that with all the money in the world. To have a God that says, I will respond when you pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. But he tells us again, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. But you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. How do you show confidence in God? By persevering in prayer. Everybody say persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer. Patience is rendered two ways in the New Testament. The majority of times you read the word patience in the New Testament, it is the word for perseverance. Can you say amen? To patiently knock means to continue to knock. To patiently wait means to continually pray and worship God. Amen. No matter what the circumstances. Waiting on the Lord is not sitting complacently. It is actively pursuing Him by faith. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. They that persevere to the end. Listen, it's all about persevering, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching to the things that are before. Here's the perseverance. I press toward the mark. Everybody say he's persevering. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm persevering. I don't know how to put it any clearer this morning. Once you start knocking, God said the key is to keep on knocking. Modern theology says, pray one time, stand on the word, confess it every morning, go your merry way. See, the flesh likes that because it fits into the busyness of our lives. We don't need to show any kind of devotion or perseverance. There is no discipline in that whatsoever. The flesh can be alive and well and practice all those principles. But if you persevere, the flesh will suffer. It's supposed to suffer. Amen. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. So he says you have need of perseverance. When great afflictions come, how do you get through them? By persevering. When Peter was in prison, they didn't pray a formula prayer and forget about it. They made prayer unto God without ceasing. Say it with me. Without ceasing. In other words, until the answer comes, we're going to keep on praying. That goes against some theology, but listen, we got a Bible here. We got a lot of sermonizing, kind of dissecting, taking bits and pieces out of the Bible to support things. But we need the whole Bible in context. We've not only got, amen, Bible principles, but we've got Bible people and how they operated. And when Peter was in jail, amen, and he was scheduled for death the next morning, and he was sitting between two soldiers bound to them and bound himself because they feared someone would try to spring him. Amen. The church went into prayer. Earnest, sincere, persevering prayer. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, and prayer was made for Peter without ceasing. Amen. And God sent an angel. Everybody say, God sent an angel. God sent an angel. Somewhere within that persevering prayer, God sent an angel. Can you say amen? How long are you supposed to pray, Brother Venable? An hour, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 months? Amen. Until heaven responds. Everybody say, until heaven responds. Is that what the Bible says? Till heaven responds. If you're praying for a loved one, you've been praying for 10 years. What am I supposed to do? Keep on praying until heaven responds. Amen? Until they respond. Until you see the change. Praise God. Amen? And what happened? Peter's asleep. Now, this is incredible to me that he's scheduled for death the next morning and he can sleep. I mean, I'm scheduled for jury duty. I can't sleep. Can you say, man, it's because I know I got to get up and fight that traffic, and I know there's a judge, and I could be held in contempt, and I know all, and I got to find a place to park, and if I get up on the interstate and they got to slow down, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm trying to sleep so I'll feel good to face all of that, and the harder I try to sleep, the more awake I become. And then I'm frustrated because I can't sleep, and that really wakes me up. Amen. And then you're trying not to doze off, sitting there on a boring trial where a lawyer is droning on and on and on. And suddenly I found myself like this, and I caught myself and thought, oh, Lord, what would the judge do if he caught me asleep? Then I saw the judge, and he was... It made me feel a whole lot better to see the judgy-wudgy was taking a little cat nap. Amen. And somebody, you know, the bailiff, he went... And the judge went, don't you all be sleeping? That's our flesh. What happened to Peter when Jesus said, watch with me 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour? Everybody say 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. The Bible said Peter fell asleep. His flesh won. He didn't persevere. He fell asleep. I bet he's glad that all those people praying for him when he was in prison didn't just fall asleep, forget it, and leave him languishing. But they continued to pray, and God sent an angel. God sent an angel. And when the angel entered, Peter was asleep. And he smacked him on his thigh. Isn't that incredible? Amen. Listen, we're tapping into heaven's resources when we pray. We're tapping into the supernatural. I've heard prayer tried to be explained on Ofra. Don't get it from Ofra. Get it from the Word of God. Amen. They just believe in prayer as something you do within to whatever there is without, and it gets all mixed up and muddled. There's nothing about Jesus and nothing of any biblical authority in it. But biblical authority puts prayer where it ought to be, and that's in a premium place. Praise God. Amen. So he prayed, and an angel came and smote him on the thigh and said, "Get up and come with me." And the stocks fell off. Now those other guys stayed sleeping, but his stocks fell off. And the prison door opened of its own accord. And an angel led him out of the prison. Amen. And Peter, he said, it was like a dream. It seemed like a dream. Can you say, man? I couldn't believe this supernatural thing that was happening. It was so extraordinary. It must be a dream. It's a good dream. It's a wonderful dream. But I'm going to wake up in a minute and find myself back in that situation. You know what the Bible said about God turning the captivity in Psalm 126, the captivity of Israel? He said, when God turned the captivity, amen, of Zion, when God turned it around, we've been in captivity so long, been praying for deliverance so long, when deliverance came, we were as those that dream. Amen. They were still pinching themselves to see if it was real. Can you say amen? Listen, what I'm telling you today is God wants to do extraordinary, supernatural things in your life and mine, our families, our world. Can you say amen? But he needs our perseverance. Come on, church. He needs. How many know this is a needful message today? Amen. We're all looking for that little formula, like everything else, the quick fix for everything. Listen, if you're hemorrhaging, don't look for a medic that has a good Band-Aid for you. Can you say amen? Look for a good surgeon that can stitch you up and stop the bleeding. Amen? Hallelujah. We're trying to put Band-Aids on things that we need to get fixed, and only God can truly fix them. Can you say amen? We need to pray, and after we pray some more and not go to sleep anymore, not let our flesh take over. Amen. And Peter got all the way outside, amen, before he realized, and the angel disappeared, and he looked back and said, "This is not a dream. This is really happening to me." And he went to the church, and they were still praying. Amen. And he beat on the door, and they were so involved in prayer for him, they didn't even hear him knocking. And finally they heard something, and they didn't want to be disturbed in prayer. So they sent a damsel to the door, and she looked out and turned around and said, "It's Peter! He's free!" And then he came in and told them, I'm sure, the story of the angelic deliverance, because prayer was made unto God, how? Without what? Without ceasing. Without ceasing. Without ceasing. There was a grandma in Kentucky, amen, and I'm still trying to remember her name. She lived into her late 90s, and every time there was something the doctors couldn't fix, every time there was a child sick with fever, amen, and they couldn't get the fever down, after they put them in ice and they gave them everything they knew to give them, they would call her to come and pray, because when she came to pray, it was going to be an all-nighter. Can you say amen? She wasn't going to quit until that fever broke. She wasn't going to quit until that answer come. And the secret to her prayer life was not a quick fix little formula. Amen. It was continuing to pray, amen, without ceasing. And somewhere along the way, amen, when that kind of discipline, that kind of devotion, that kind of dedication to an answer, amen, the answer came. And answers began to come. And she was known all over my little hometown of Middlesboro, Kentucky, as a woman who could get a prayer through. Well, it's not really getting a prayer through because heaven is open to our prayers. God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are what? Open. Amen. But this is the way they understood it. They thought, you know, praying through is praying until heaven responds. Amen. Amen. Pray until heaven. What they were really expressing was when we persevere, when we keep on keeping on, something's going to happen sooner or later because we've tried it. We've proven it over and over again. If we pray and keep on praying, seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking, the very thing we're told not to do is what the Bible in its entirety tells us to do. Can you say amen? Moses didn't just pray and sit there and watch God win the battle. He prayed and kept on praying. And when he got tired praying and his hands came down, the tide of battle turned against Israel. That's why we lose battles, because we don't persevere in prayer. But God is challenging us this morning to pray and keep on praying. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Because when prayer is made without ceasing, God sends angels from heaven. God moves mountains. God shakes prisons. Woo! Satan is defeated. Jesus is exalted. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be given a challenge to pray because I know God is listening and I know God wants to move and I know the supernatural is going to begin to take place. Hallelujah. Everybody, anybody here want to see God move like he did in the ancient times? Amen. Prayer is the key. What about faith? I'm glad you asked. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. Faith is secondary. Amen. Faith without prayer, it's like a two-winged airplane. Faith and prayer are holding it up. Which wing do you want to lose? Doesn't matter. One or the other, and you go down. It takes both for the thing to fly. And we've taught a lot on faith and a little on prayer. C.H. Spurgeon said, I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Why? Because we need help from above. We need prayer-saturated sermons, not just someone preaching what they've learned at the Bible college alone. Good stuff. Given, it's good stuff, but we need. You know what the early church leaders did? They said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Can you say amen? When does heaven send that precious anointing, that mighty anointing? Amen. When they prayed. Jesus taught them to pray. And he did it by example. Amen. He was God incarnate, but for example, he went up into a mountain. He was there alone, and he prayed. Can you say amen? If Jesus Christ prayed, we should pray. And I don't just mean over our food and when we're in a crisis. We should have a relationship wherewith we're constantly communicating with God. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Can you say amen? Amen? Never stop. Never give up on it. Never give in to lazy flesh. Everybody say lazy flesh. And don't tell me yours isn't. Because it is. I'm not getting ready to preach now. I'm getting ready to close. Usually my coat coming off, it says it's going to be another hour. Pray for me. Isn't God good? The way he woos us to worship, he brings us and challenges us to do the things and develop disciplines in our life that are so desperately needed, but he does it in a way that makes us want to, not just have to. Amen? That's what he's always wanted, is to get that want to in our heart, to show us the value of something, so that we'll practice it because it's so valuable to us. Amen? Kingdom of heaven is what? It's a treasure hid in the field. When a man finds it for the joy thereof, he sells all that he has that he might possess it. He's not sacrificing, honey. Amen. He's getting a bargain of his life. Amen? Only the world sees it as a sacrifice because they don't see the kingdom. And we do. We see the value of it. God wants us to know the value of prayer. Amen. And the value of perseverance in prayer. Listen to me. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. What does that mean? Amen. It has nothing to do with the second coming. It has nothing to do with the rapture. It has nothing to do with Jesus coming. It has to do with God answering prayer in his timing. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Amen. It's in the context of perseverance. persevering. It's in the context of patience. It's in the context of continuing to hold your confidence in Him. Because God has heard. God is expeditiously moving, amen, concerning your prayer. And in His timing, He will come. Can you say amen? In His timing. And He won't tarry. When it's time, God is going to just do it. And I think so many times we've been so close to that event, and then we've given up. We've become discouraged. We've become distracted. We've become impatient with God. And our flesh is won. Can you say amen? Well, what we should have done is just continue. And it's hard to continue when you're disheartened, discouraged, distracted. Can you say amen? But that's the key time to continue. To override those things that all of our flesh feels. Everybody's got emotions. Say, I got one. You got emotions? There, listen, you can set yourself to stay spiritually high the rest of your life and to bless the Lord at all times and never say anything but the right thing. But you're going to find yourself having to repent. You're going to find yourself going through emotional stressors. And at those key times, it's important for you to understand that God is still listening. If you'll pray when you don't feel like it, when it don't seem like it'll do no good, God is still listening. He wants you to pray anyway. He wants you to pray when you don't feel like it. He wants you to pray when it seems like heaven is brass. He wants you to pray when you're disgusted with the situation and you're wondering why God hadn't come through. He wants you to pray. Why? Because He that shall come will come. And He will not tarry. When He says it's time, it's going to happen. And it could be the next day, and it could be next week. It might even be next year. That's not the issue. The issue is God has heard me. God is listening. And I'm going to keep praying so that He can answer. Can you say, man? I'm not going to let my hands come down and let the battle be won by the enemy. I'm going to keep them up in prayer. It's amazing. Jesus talked about importunity, the widow and the judge. He talked about the man asleep and his neighbor needs bread. He talks about knocking and keep on knocking. He talks about continuance. He talks about perseverance in prayer. He set the supreme example. And what do we want? We want something that costs our flesh nothing but gives us everything. We don't want to take the time and put forth the effort to pray like that. And because we don't take the time and put forth the effort, we see very little supernatural. Come on. I'm talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about that. You know what's supernatural? That can only be attributed to God. Amen? And we need, as a praying people, to see some things that can only be attributed to God. Amen? When they told us that we couldn't purchase this, that they would not hold a mortgage, and the bank said there's not enough people to give a commercial loan. Commercial loans are much harder. I could have got the money on my personal credit a whole lot easier. And we had people step up here and willing to put their assets on the line to get this, amen, and to put themselves in, you know. But I said no to that. We want this to be God. We want it to be supernatural. I know we could all get together somehow and double mortgage whatever we got. Or, you know, we could go deeper in debt to get it. But I want God to do this. Amen. If it isn't God, I really don't want to be involved in it. But if it is God, I want to go at it wholeheartedly. Can you say amen? So the realtor said the people who are selling this said they would absolutely not sell it and hold the mortgage. They want cash up front. I said, that's fine. Go ahead and put it back on the market because we're having trouble getting financing through the bank. And I prayed about it. And I told the realtor, I said, if God wants us to have it, we'll get it. And if God don't want us to have it as much as we want it, we don't want it. As much as we want it, we don't want it if God doesn't want us to have it. Because God sees the future and God knows best. And if we all mortgage on top of mortgage everything we got and we don't see the supernatural, it'd be real easy to get discouraged in it and be stuck with the mortgage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I just put it before the Lord. I went back to God. I said, Lord, I have prayed. I have looked. I have spent my day off running up and down roads. I priced a building that was leaning, had a big crack in the corner, looked like it was about to fall down, would take tens of thousands of dollars to repair if it could be repaired. And on a little piece of property, kind of way off from here, and I thought, well, at least I'll check it out. And I called them up and checked it out, and you know what they wanted for the little piece of property with the crumbling old building that would have held about 65 people, but it had been used as a church. You know what they wanted for it? They wanted, and this was over 5 years ago, they wanted $250,000. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, $250,000 for a crumbling old building, amen, on a small piece of property, amen, and it was all grew up with weeds and there wasn't much parking. I thought, these people got to be nuts. But I was getting I was getting exposed to the world of real estate and the way the real world now, the world has changed, amen. And I said, Lord, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. I can't make anything happen. The realtor's negative. It's in your hands. Whatever happens, now it's all your hands. But I'm going to keep trusting you, and I'm going to keep looking to you. And because things haven't opened and nothing's changed, I'm not going to just quit. I could just come back and tell you guys, hey, you know, I prayed and prayed and looked. There's nothing out there. Obviously, God doesn't want us to continue. Let's just shut her down and all join the mega church. Make it a mega, mega church. But if God has anything else for this people to be united for, then, Lord, it's up to you. I continued to pray, but I quit looking. I'd used my faith. I said, I'm going to go look, but I don't know anywhere else to look, Lord. I don't know anybody else to call. I'd call many realtors. Nobody called me back. Anything we could even use for church, call me back. Amen. 4 days later, the guy called me and said, the people have had a change of heart. And they said, if you want to buy it, and they'll hold the mortgage, they're ready to do business with it. And I said, we'll take her. God came through. And it was supernatural because I don't even believe they wanted to do it until God came down and twisted their arm. No, he didn't force them to do it. He just gave us favor in their heart. He gave us favor. He gave us favor. They had been done wrong in the business deal and were soured. And they said, we'll never sell anything else on time. But somehow God convinced them without me doing or anything that we were people of integrity. Amen. And we paid her off last year. Isn't that incredible? Or over a year ago. Over a year ago. Isn't that great? Well, look. That's supernatural. Amen. When I walk onto this property, I know God sent us here. God opened the door. God made the way. Hallelujah. God did this because God is in this. Amen. That goes to show you God's in the big stuff and God's in the little stuff. But as long as it's supernatural, we know it's God. If you got enough people, you don't need a whole lot of supernatural. Money can do a lot. And you say amen. But there are things that only God can do. Hallelujah. And this ministry is something that requires the supernatural. It requires the supernatural to have an influence when you're small as we are. That's why God opened up radio to us. Remember the Sunday morning we were talking about the scripture that we claimed for our radio outreach? Amen. Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? And God is letting me stay right where I am, but he's sending the word. Can you say amen in places I could never go down to Australia? Amen. Hallelujah. Through the World Wide Web, it goes everywhere. We've got a constant listener in Virginia. Amen. That is a part of our listening audience. And God has just been so good to give us this radio outreach, radio ministry. Amen. And while we were talking about when we had the 30-minute broadcast, we just quoted the scripture. He sent his word. Amen. And I think we played maybe a little bit of it that morning. And we got a phone call from the station giving us an hour on Sunday to add to the outreach. I said, giving us. Anybody can go buy time. Amen. Terry can go buy time on the radio. Amen. And it would be good stuff. He'd say good thing. But when somebody gives you time, it's God. God had to give us favor. God had to put it in their heart. Can you say amen? People don't give time away when you can sell it. You stay in business by selling time, not giving it away. Selling commercials. God did it. I love to see the supernatural. I love to see that because when I see that, I know that my prayers are being heard. And it makes me want to pray more and more and more. God is so good. I don't like wait and I don't like no. But I've come to appreciate the fact that if I want God's will, I've got to accept all three answers. Yes, no, and not now. Everybody say, not now. And it's the not now. It's not trying to override the no, because when God says no, honey, he means no. And when he says yes, he means yes. And when he says not now, he means persevere. You keep on believing, keep on praying, because he that shall come. Listen, everybody say in his timing. Will come. And he what? Will not tarry. Can you say amen? In other words, when he says it's time, nothing's going to stop me. No circumstance is going to hinder me. When the time is right, I'm going to move and hell can't stop me. Amen. Circumstances can't hinder me. So if you'll keep praying and believing, amen, you're going to see something wonderful happen in your life. Have you glad we went to Hebrews chapter 10 and studied today? Amen. Will you stand to your feet and let's give God some glory this morning. Praise God. How many want to pray more so we can see more of God's move in our life? Amen. Amen. His supernatural in our world. His move in our families. Praise God. You may be praying for someone that for years and nothing has happened. Well, your prayers are preserved in the presence of God. That means he has not forgotten you. He has not bypassed you. Can you say amen? He loves you. He cares about you. His eyes are upon you. His ears are open to you. That should be a prayer incentive more than if you don't pray. You know, God's going to be disappointed in if you don't pray. And there's a whole lot of things we could try to motivate people to prayer with, but I don't know anything better than the fact that God responds. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he, listen, is a rewarder of them who what? Here's perseverance. That diligently seek him. Can you say, man? Say it with me. Diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Have ye not read where it is written, seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you, saith the Spirit of God. Have you not known and have you not understood that God is listening? For your prayer. If we all had our week put on a huge screen on this wall, our week, our entire week, there would be many conversations about our needs. There would be many complaints about our pressures, problems, and aggravation. That tape would have a lot of sound bites, wouldn't it, of the things that bug us and bother us and get to us, and the people, and the circumstance. What would be embarrassing to many of us about that tape? It would have little persevering prayer. There would be times where praise was not offered during the course of an entire day, because we've relegated, we're going to take care of all of that when we get to church on Sunday morning. When we get there, we'll give him that little spontaneous burst of praise, but here it is Tuesday, here it is Wednesday, here it is Thursday, here it is Friday. Don't forget Monday. I didn't even count Monday. No one expects much of you on Monday. Show up Sunday and have all of our prayer and praise concentrated into an hour and a half service on Sunday morning. And that's going to suffice. That's perseverance. That praise makes me a true worshiper because I put everything into Sunday morning, so that takes care of it. How many know that's foolish? That means there's nothing between you and God Monday through Saturday. Nothing going on. No dialogue, no communication. Unless there's some great personal crisis. And then suddenly we want to call who? People who will what? Will pray. We handle it all until we're give out and fatigued and empty. And then we want hands laid on us to cure it all. You can't cure an underdeveloped relationship with God with the laying on of hands. The only cure for that is spending time with Jesus. Can you say amen? It's the only cure. It's a wonderful cure. Amen? There comes a time in your busy schedule. You know, I think we all need it. I've never carried one, and people give me beautiful ones, and I use it for other things. It's not that I don't use it, but these weekly planners, you know, because I'm so spontaneous in everything I do, and I'm so behind that if I planned something, I'd have, you know, I just have to go with the flow almost to get everything done. But it wouldn't be bad, would it, to have a weekly planner and every day of the week have a slot that says time spent in worship and prayer. Now, that don't mean at church. That's just a corporate thing, but a personal thing. That every day there is a time where I worship God and I pray. Amen? Every single day. So that there's not a day goes by that I don't express praise and gratitude to Him for all He's done for me, and not a day that goes by that I don't let Him know how much I need Him as my source. I pray and I persevere till the answer comes. Supernatural is the heritage. It is the legacy that He's left us. Supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. This is what prayer is for in our life. Amen. Let me give you one more thing. We've got to go. But this is we're not coming back tonight because so many people are not able to, and we would just have a, it wouldn't be good. And so there's, but God is so good, and He's calling us to this. I want you to pray this week. We need